Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Brightness of the screen. And when I press minus, it brought me back.
There's your 30 seconds covered, dickhead.
Good evening.
Carl started off as he means to go on. A few technical difficulties. Punctuality. I mean, to be fair, there's always one of us here on time. It just varies which one of us it is. I think I've waffled for long enough for the opening bit. Run as an intro, Gilly, and we'll get into this shit show.
Oh, bollocks.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
It's a utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Nothing spectacular, really. Just a quick thanks to Hannah for being so kind to us. I mean, I'm not sure what's wrong, but, you know.
Are we dressed in black, Hannah?
I mean, it does feel a bit like a funeral, but, yeah, we're not going to sit here in this funeral gear today, Hannah. Fuck me. Nothing spectacular, really. Well, the last couple of days has been pretty spectacular, but for all the wrong reasons. I mean, how are you feeling, lads? Where are your heads at after what we've seen?
Scrambled.
Yeah. The head's completely well and truly fried here now today after reading all that crack.
I'm in disbelief. I mean, I thought it were bad how I felt Sunday night and I were in a state. I was that upset. I got completely hammered. I gave a lot of people a load of shit and I'd made up my ass, but, you know.
I don't think anybody noticed you. I think you got
Yeah, away. Well, you know. I felt terrible the next day. For what it's worth. But, everything that's happened since then has been basically the exact opposite of what any of us wanted to happen. It's like we're in the upside down. Like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It is. And I think, you know, when you reflect on the season that we've had, it's felt like it's been about 3 years long. We talked about the World Cup break before, after, everything else. This season has just gone on and on. And you know, even with the threat of relegation, most people that I saw comment on it were like, just even if we're down, just get the fucking season over. The season's over, and you all go, fuck's it. Well, we're fucking down, but do you know what? Done with now. The pain's done with now. You know, that plaster coming off.
Yeah.
We know what we're about. Next season, we're in the championship. We know that. We know that. You know, the threat of it, that sword of Damocles hanging over our head for 15 months, you know, it's gone. It's done. The pain's over. And then this week.
it's like watching an elderly relative slowly die and then being relegated. It's like you know, that's it then. It's over and you're gutted, but you're relieved as well because the suffering's finished. Then you find out that the house you live in, oh, your elderly relative sold that years ago. So you're going to be turfed out on the street. You know, when you think it's done and it's over, and then a new level of shit comes along. And I mean, I don't know what, I ain't got a clue what's going on. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what direction the club's going in. And I'm starting to look at us and think, this is the sort of chaos you see in those clubs that do like a double dip and go down twice.
That's exactly what my thinking was earlier on today. I was kind of like, I was messing, like, but League One tour, 24, 25 season.
Take off all the 92, aren't we?
Yeah, I was briefly chatting to chatting Leeds in our podcast inbox there, and he was nearly in tears. Just he was either laughing or crying. He didn't know what to do, to be honest with you. But Jesus Christ, it's an absolute shit show today. Whatever happened, the ones I feel bad for, obviously the fans, because he has zero consideration for them if it's true what he's done, and the fact that he's not even informed board members about his plan of action, according to reports today.
It's not theories, it is true.
Yeah.
There have been documents. Where do you want to get into that now? Do you want to go through the statement first?
I think kick off with statement, because then we can delve into that a bit, and then we can move forward from there to what came next. Because if I go off on a tangent, I'm just going to start ranting about what's happened, you know, and then we'll have to go back. And yeah, let's try and be slightly.
But that's fine. So, I mean, first things first, the way that it came out was letter-headed paper of Ace of Ventures. Mm. It was from Rajid Zani. It's not come through any of the club channels. So we got the personal statement that I've popped up. The last few days have been very difficult for everyone associated with Leeds United. Find it very hard to find the right words to say other than to apologise to all of our fans for the club's relegation. I'm sincerely sorry for how this season has unfolded. We've made significant investments to try to keep Leeds United in the Premier League. Between working hard to improve the club, we've also made some mistakes. We are reflecting on the decisions that we've taken to ensure we learn the lessons to improve our club and make progress in the future. Leeds supporters deserve more than this. You understand the journey on which we've embarked, and I hope that once the anger and disappointment has subsided, you will see that we can come back stronger. We've invested heavily in Leeds United since 2017 and worked hard to get back to where the club deserves to be. With the support of our partners, we can continue that journey to bounce back. I'm proud of the progress we've made in recent years. We've become a club that can attract exciting players, strong commercially. We've seen improvements to the academy, introduced a women's side and so much more. In many ways, the club has been transformed and we are committed and determined to continue on this journey. We do not like to make false promises. There is still a lot of work to do and changes needed. We need a clear strategy to continue our vision for the club, and work is underway to produce this, in which we hope will be reflected in some key appointments in different areas of the club. We will keep you all updated throughout the process. MOT, Andrea Rajid Zani.
Firstly,
how dare you say MOT?
Yeah, that, and he's completely shat on everything that he's achieved over the last 5 years. He's completely shat on it. And the second thing I want to say is, Gilly, you met this point in the group earlier, in the WhatsApp group. It's not even on club paper, club-headed paper.
Yeah.
That like, whatever about the statement that the players made or the fans, the board made, that looked like a ChatGPT statement, that looks like a ChatGPT statement, but edited little bits where it's including the fact that he's chairman of our club. And I'm sick to the back teeth of that.
It does say on it, does it actually say that he's chairman of Ace of Ventures before it says he is of Leeds?
Yeah.
He's put that first.
I'm disgusted by it, personally. Yeah. I'm hoping that the Ace-headed paper is because he doesn't have the authority now to put a statement out on Leeds paper. But who knows? Because everything else in that statement makes it sound like he's staying at our club.
That's how I read it.
He's talking about partners, not people taking over or anything like that. And I don't think he'd refer to them as partners if he were to become a minority shareholder.
Well, I think
he might do.
There's various ways to read it. When I first read that, I thought that's saber rattling. That's him trying to get the 49ers to get their asses in gear and get a deal done. Mm-hmm. I didn't think So on the face of it, it looks like he's going to continue with the club. I think that that's intentional to make it appear as though he's ready to stay with the club should they not get a shift on. So I think he was trying to move things forward in that. I think he's a prick in doing so, because all he's doing is leveraging the fans. And, you know, you look at the amount of, I mean, there's been sack the board and all of that, but the amount of patience that fans have had, fuck up after fuck up after fuck up, that he's had a lot of patience. You know, there have been sack the board.
We had the last day, but then, last season, we saw two of our star players leave and he still had a fairly easy ride. Everyone gave this a chance this season. Everybody were prepared to back it.
So I think that that statement is already pissing in fans' faces, let alone what's gone on beyond that.
it's bullshit, man. It's the whole our club and we and MOT. It's just, it's really rubbed me up the wrong way, is that?
Yeah.
There's,
I mean,
there's no we in this. If it were our club and it were we, you'd have been there watching the Spurs game and you'd have faced the fucking music, mate. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't have written that from 1,000 miles away, fucking 3 days later, because you've seen some backlash on social media about the shite ChatGPT statement that were put out before it.
I think him not being there, I don't think he has a choice now but to leave, because he's not going to be welcome back there at the start of next season. No, there's no. He's going to be chased around the fucking stadium in the car park. He thinks he's got more in the bank than he actually gives himself credit for now.
He thinks
social media now that he doesn't. And like I say, I think there was some saber rattling there to try and get things moving forward rather than, you know, reading between the lines. On the face of it, it's very much a, we are going to take this forward. I think that was machinations to try and push forward something to happen of, well, 49ers going, well, hang on a minute, I thought we were doing this, but they've not done it fast enough. Ultimately, we don't really know. We don't know what goes behind closed doors. I'd be very, very interested. I'd love to be a fly on the wall at the next board meeting.
I mean, after the other stuff that we're going to talk about soon, the fact that Angus knew nothing about any of it and he's not been telling anybody what he's doing, and he's just gone rogue, basically. He's just doing his own thing. Yeah. He's gone full Chiellino.
I think.
Yeah, and talking about the anger being subsiding. Well, that's not a way to ensure that the anger subsides over time, is it? The way to ensure that, from a fan's perspective, anger and disappointment starts to fade over time or subside over time is very much to sort out the shit going on your board, appoint a director of football, appoint a manager, and start recruiting the players that we need. And allow us to see the players that are not going to be around for the next season. Yeah. That's how you ensure that our anger starts to dissipate, is to do your fucking job. Yeah. Not release bullshit statements, just do your job.
If we saw positive things being done and the club are getting a director of football, they're getting a manager in, they're starting to look at players and we're hearing things, then you're thinking, all right, well, he's a bit of a knob for gambling like he has, but at least he's trying to sort of move forward and get on with it straight away. He's not fucking around. He's not leaving us languishing with no direction like a rudderless ship. But that's exactly what's happened. I'm just going to grab this comment from Skip because it kind of leads into this as well. With all this uncertainty lying from within the club, any potential player or manager would think twice about coming here to Leeds. Absolutely. And he's there on his statement saying, we can attract exciting players. What, like Mark Rocker and Weston McKennie?
Just before we go on to other bits and leave the statement, do you think, obviously we know the statement should have read differently, but what you've just said, I feel should have been what a statement is, regardless of whether we all want him to go, because let's be honest, I'd say about 95% of the fan base want him gone now after that shit show. Even if he was going, he should have just basically said what you said, Gilly. Look, our heads are down. We're trying to pick him up. We're looking at the players. We're talking to them this week. Director of football, we're interviewing for people now this week and next week. To say that, he didn't give any relevant information to appease fans in that statement. All he did was try and blow smoke up our arses and hope that it would fan the flames for a couple of weeks. Yeah. But the fact that he's put out that statement after, a week after, but only days after he's been approved for the bloody Sampdoria deal. You know, that to me, that's not how you do it. Like, he should have been online on Sunday, straight after the game, had a statement ready. This is what we're doing. Here's the process. Here's what we're going to do. But there was nothing. There's not even, like, anything like that that's in that statement at the moment, to me, is just last words. There's nothing of relevance in that statement that would try and even turn any fans in his favor. Now, I think he's absolutely burnt all bridges, and I don't think anyone's going to forgive him for that. I think, like I said, he will be chased around the car park on the first day of the season, and I don't
looking forward to this. I'm more excited about that than I am the football.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, like, because a lot of that will depend on how the next 2 weeks go. Because if the next 2 weeks don't go how we expect them to go, he's in a lot of trouble, and he may lose the 49ers as an investor if he carries on like this. Because, like, they have the money to kind of go, right, we can write off that debt. You know, the money they've put in, they could simply write that off. They don't necessarily, like, they could say, right, we want that player sold, that player sold, that player sold. You give us back our money that we've put in, we're out. And that's how simple it could be for them to leave. And I don't think he realizes that, because he's playing a stupid game. Exactly.
We're not told.
We don't know.
That could already be done. We're already in a position now with the bullshit and the approach that he's taking, and you know, not informing them of things that he's trying to do, things he's looking at on completely other projects with completely other investment groups, to not talk to his own board. He's the majority shareholder, but still, to not talk to his own board, they're not going to, you know, who's going to do business with him? And you know, I got into a couple of arguments over the past couple of weeks. I don't know, it's unusual for me to do that on social media, but where people were saying about, you know, he's as bad as Chiellino. And I would go, no, hang on a minute. We were a laughing stock under Chiellino, but we are a laughing stock again now. Yeah. We weren't a laughing stock because we got relegated. Three teams every season get relegated from the Premier League. We weren't a laughing stock because we got relegated. Yes, opposition fans enjoy it when Leeds get relegated because they love to hate us. We love to hate them. That's just part of it. That's part of being Leeds. We become a laughing stock when we've got a split board, when we've got a jumped up little ponce going off buying other clubs. The day we're getting relegated is in another club trying to land another country trying to land a different club. He's not talking to his staff. We've got no idea who's going to be managing us. We've already sacked our director of football, the right decision, but at the same time, we don't have another one to come in and do it. We've got no idea who's going to be playing for us. One of our frustrations over time has been a massive focus on strategy and no focus on the here and now. Mm-hmm. And now we've got neither. And that's what's making the laughing stock of us. The fact that we don't even know. I mean, ultimately, it looks like what's happened with Elland Road has been blocked or has not come to pass. But we've got a chairman that's trying to utilise the asset that is Elland Road as collateral against borrowings for a completely different project, nothing to do with Leeds at all. So there's question marks around, you know, what's going to happen with the asset that is our home. We've already got the question marks around the playing staff, the backroom staff. We've got no idea what coaching team we've got or will have. We've got no idea who the manager will be, who the director of football will be, who the board is going to be. It's now he's as bad as Chiellino because we've got fucking no idea what's going on. I've not been backing Rads recently. I've been saying, just remember what fucking madness we had under Chiellino. It was that, and not looking back through rose tinted spectacles, just to remember the seventh place finish, and then Pablo coming in and the other bits that we had. And by the way, Pablo shirt on. I'm not denigrating the guy at all. I love him, still love him now. But it's to look back and only remember the good bits of the Chiellino era is to remember a whole load of shit that went on. But we are 100% back there now. 100%.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's gone from all this big talk about Europe in a few years and expanding the stadium and all this kind of shit. relegation's impossible. And now here we are. And now it's just like, it's like shaking a jar of bees and they all go berserk. Do you know what I mean?
And then being surprised that they got mad.
Yeah, when you let them out and they're angry, yeah. It's just bizarre. For a guy, like you said this earlier, for a guy who's a PR guy, he's fucking awful at it.
He's useless. You know? He's absolutely
literally
useless.
He went to university and got himself a degree in public relations.
Yeah.
Where's it gone?
When is he going to put that into practice? Like, because I haven't seen it for however long he's been here. Like, he's been absolutely shocking. Like,
I'm just baffled by it all. I mean, you go back and look at things, and it's like we had the thing about Marsh where we were told he were a natural successor to Bielsa. They've been after him for 2 years, and it's just going to be the same football, but with slightly better defending. And then we've had relegations impossible. We had white smoke about a new manager that then didn't materialise. We've had him tweeting people. We've had him saying stuff like our new signing is Adam Forshaw. It's just, for someone who's meant to be a PR guru, he seems to get it wrong every single time. Every single time. I've never known a person put their foot in it more who's meant to be in that field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To say that he owns a television company and he owns a media company and he owns this and he owns that, like, is it any wonder how he's managed to keep hold of all these companies with the shit he's actually stirring at Leeds at the moment? Because if his running of Leeds at the moment is anything to go by, I can't see many of his companies lasting too much longer, if that's the crack, because he hasn't fucking clue now. And I was a big supporter of Rads for a long time. Like, I thought he was doing great stuff, but then
he was at one point.
The sacking of Bielsa was the turning point for me, and then giving Marsh the job after the summer, you know, was the end of it for me, really. Like, it was only a matter of time before he absolutely put his foot in it and decided to do what he's doing. Like, he
must look back at the sacking of Bielsa as the beginning of the end now.
Well, like, if he doesn't, and he doesn't realise that that was what was his biggest downfall, because people can say what they want. No manager was getting any points, really, out of the teams that Bielsa played 4 games before his sacking. Granted, the results and the final scores were absolutely shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had people tell me that Bielsa wouldn't have got more points than Marsh did towards the end. I find that kind of delusion very much in line with how Rads is running the club.
But that is something that's intangible, like we'll never actually know.
Yeah,
it could be argued that it was the right move to sack Bielsa when they did. It could be argued, but it was the wrong move to replace him with Jesse Marsh. We'll never know on that one, but bringing Jesse Marsh in was the start of our downfall big time for me.
I don't think sacking Bielsa was worth it, to be fair.
No, and fair enough. It's an opinions thing. We'll never know on that one. You know, it's just...
That's true.
Bringing Marsh in was the move that was really, really bad. And then keeping him after the World Cup because he let Victor Orta dictate to him.
Yeah.
Like, the exactly man is that, a weasel. He has no backbone. He's a snake. He can't be honest with us, and he can't stand up for his own ideals in his own boardroom.
Just shows weak leadership. It shows weak leadership. And he talked about leadership on the pitch and the players and that in previous kind of statements or whatever he might have said. But he hasn't shown any leadership within the club for at least 2 years now.
Exactly. And I think he knows that he's not up to running a football club, hence why he gave all that power to the people around him.
Yeah, I think... There's a lot more to the Orta thing than I feel we're being told.
I'm sure he'll write a book one day.
Yeah, well...
they always do.
I'm not sure it would even be told in the book, if I'm honest, but it's just a shit show now, and he needs to come out with a better statement than that, explaining what the hell he's doing.
Have you been getting in the no-knowledge off Dean on Twitter?
Dean Carr, he does my tits in. He speaks as though he pontificates as though he knows the inner machinations of the club.
That guy,
just, Yes, that guy.
Yeah, and then when something different happens to what he said, he just like told you. On like he never said it, and he
I told you. I said that was going to happen. Bullshit, dude. He doesn't like it. See. And I'm not saying anything behind his back. I've told him plenty of times that he does me teaching because he knows fuck all.
He keeps me just
you know, we mentioned Angus a couple of times there as well. I think the one statement that is a positive thing that's been released from the club and that I think had Angus's name at the bottom is at least redundancies and pay issue so on with the staff at Elland Road and the staff at Thorpe Arch. They've been told they're all right. Now, there's question marks around that now because we've got no idea who's going to own the club and they might see it differently.
Yeah, that's the thing, but, you know, if
at this point
sold.
In time. Yeah, I mean, if it's sold, they might just sack everyone. Yeah,
they might move all business. The ticketing operation to the USA and have one person to deal with.
I do
when shit goes south.
But I mean, I think for now, the fact that they had that means that the money is there to pay their wages for the time being, and then if it falls into a different circumstance around redundancies because of business decisions rather than the financial situation, you know, there'll be consultancy and so on. So at least the staff at Elland Road, they don't know where they stand because none of us do in terms of the business and in terms of the club as a whole. But where they stand right now, at least, is somewhat as healthy as it could be, let's say. we can't over-egg it.
Yeah, Skip makes a comment here. 49ers very quiet during this. Do you think are they assessing the situation behind the scenes before they decide to release a statement, or do you think are they going to say it in the law, lads?
They could be subject to an NDA for all we know, Carl.
Here's the thing.
If the deal is going through.
I think this is just an opinion piece. This is not fact. I don't know any of this. This is a suspicion that I have, and it is not an accusation in any way. And if the businesses are subject to an NDA, I'm not saying they've broken it in any way, but I would not be surprised if the Athletic found out about this through the 49ers channels.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think
that's where the story broke from.
Said something along those lines.
But didn't Rad
where did
say
where did
that,
go?
That what he does with his companies and Leeds United is none of anyone's business?
That's one. Yeah, he did.
That's when the Athletic asked him the questions, yes.
Yeah, Kev Marston said Rads is desperate. I also think the stadium stuff that's come out in the Athletic is somebody from the 49ers firing shots back. Could well be.
Yeah, and that's where I'm saying, you know, the saber rattling of the Ace Adventures press release or whatever it was, statement. Everybody's making statements at the moment out there. It could well be a response to that of, well, we already knew that you'd done this, but you didn't tell us that you'd done this. So now everybody's going to know, and let's see how your popularity goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it goes really sour between the two of them, they could try to force him out. But at the same time, that's going to end up with us where nobody will front up for any transfers. Nobody will back anybody else when a decision needs to be made. It's the last thing we need. It really is. And we're going straight.
Yeah, it is.
If we end up with that.
It is. You know, I think the one thing I think that we all shared that we wanted was that all of this business to be done quickly and to be sorted quickly, because, you know, you look at Leicester struggled the same we did because of their split board, you know, a lack of clear direction in where they were going. 40% of them wanted to go into horse racing, 40% of them wanted to stay in football, the other 20% wanted to go back up and be done with sport in this country. So a split board means that there is no clear direction, there's no clear strategy, that view of where we're going as a whole just isn't there. And if you don't have that, you've got people pulling in different directions and there's no clarity of understanding. Decisions take forever because it's either somebody that's not fully informed as to what's going on that's making a decision, or it's a decision by too many people all at once trying to do it. You need that clear direction, especially at board level. So,
you do.
We all wanted this to be done really quickly and get it over and done with, so that we could then see the vehicle moving forward, the players that we need coming in, the players that we're not going to be able to retain going out, that hierarchy within the club of the director of football and then the manager coming in. We need a manager that's going to unify whatever playing staff it is going into the start of the season. Yeah. But we also need somebody that's going to unify the fans, somebody that we can get behind, somebody that we're looking at. You know, there's been lots of talk about all sorts of different people, and we've got literally no idea who it's going to be because we don't even know who's going to be making the decisions. But if you've got a Corberan, there'll be a lot of people get behind of him because not only has he had moderate, but some success in the division that we're going to be in, but it's a hark back to the Bielsa days. And you know, so it'll have a lot of goodwill with the fans. If you've got a Rodgers, if you've got a Potter, they've had success in the English game. If you've got an Iriola, it's another one that people have looked at. He plays exciting football. He's done well. He's brought clubs up into the top flight. All right, it's in Spain. But so there are coaches around that have been linked with us that a lot of people will get behind. What we can't end up with is the same situation we had before where you're at 10th, 11th, 12th choice and we're all going, what the fuck is going on here? You know, that's what we need to get beyond, and that's one of the main sources of frustration for me right up until this news broke this afternoon.
Well, my worry on the manager thing before we get to that is, with all this turmoil, why would a Brendan Rodgers risk being associated with that? It's likely it'll be another shit show of a season. You know, why would someone up and coming like Corberan risk derailing his career for that? And then the people you're looking at are people like Steve Evans, you know, that kind of level of person. People that never Corberan, get a chance to manage a club like Leeds who will jump at it regardless of the situation. Anyone who's got somewhere else to go is going to go somewhere else.
I think with Corberan, you've got the chances because West Brom are in even deeper shit than us. You know, it's a real bad situation that they're in. I've interacted with a couple of West Brom fans over the past few days, and you know they're really in the mire, and he's got a buyout clause in his contract that's rumored to be £2 million, and you know we'd really be able to flash the cash if you want to go get him. We're going to be able to afford to get him and make him, if we need to, make him one of the higher paid coaches in the division. I'm not certain that he's at that level, but we would be able to do it if we're desperate to bring him in.
Yeah.
So with Corberan, it would be a move away from a nightmare that he's already in. Yes, okay, it would be into out of the frying pan into the fire. Shit, but at the same time, if he can come in with all of the goodwill that he kind of does have from the Bielsa days already, and the fact that you can look at his time with the Dog Botherers, and you can look at his time with West Brom, he has achieved. You know, West Brom were in the relegation positions, and he took them to just about playoffs. Huddersfield Town, he took into the playoffs. I think they lost in the final. So, you know, he's had a modicum of success at that level. But you cannot see Rodgers or Potter taking a bet and a gamble, because it is a bet and a gamble for them to step down a level. You know, Potter does, he's spoken before about liking his projects, and we definitely are a project. But until you get clarity in the boardroom, there is no way you get any of them.
The sort of project we have right now is like one of those cars I've got outside that's been in bits for years. It's a project, but it's not going anywhere.
I just want to touch on a comment here from Kev Marston. No decent coach manager will sign until we have an idea of who is running the show. We are back to the dark days of PE teachers. I was just going to make a point just before that. I feel we have 8 to 10 days to sort this out, or we are screwed. If things are like, if we don't have a manager in, a director of football, or the board shit sorted out in the next 8 to 10 days, we're screwed. We're
Now, we have nine weeks left
to kick off. 9 weeks left till the season kicks off. If we don't have those three things sorted out in 8 to 10 days, we are fubar.
And we're already missing out. You know, we are missing out right now, because players that are becoming available this summer are signing for clubs now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, those negotiations are ongoing right now. So we're already behind the curve. You know, we've seen, what's his face, that we're on loan at Everton from Wolves. £4.5 million he's available for. All right, he won't get in the side towards the end, but we're in the Championship. Anyway, I can't remember his name. He played for England. His name just gone. Into the sea.
What was it?
Connor Cody, £4.5 million.
We've talked about him before.
But if we have to keep Cock, and if we end up managing somehow to keep hold of Verba, and if we can't move Llorente on, and Cooper's going to still be there, and strokes. If we keep all of these players, then you can't really look at a centre-back like that because he's going to want to play week in, week out, and you're spending actual money on it. But if we don't keep hold of Verber and somebody mad comes in and gives us £15 million for Cock and then somebody gives us the same for Llorente and they go, all of a sudden, right, okay, we've got a bit of money to spend. We need to bring some players in. But until you're in a position where you understand who's staying and who's going, you can't do any of that. Exactly. And you can't do any of that until you've got a manager in place who decides who he wants to keep and who he wants to leave. And exactly. You can't do any of that until the director of football's around to have those contract conversations. And you can't do any of that until you know who the board is.
And that's the thing. Like, that's why I think 8 to 10 days is literally the limit.
That might be a bit too long.
You don't even know what your transfer budget is without knowing who's going.
I know yeah. what you said. Yeah, it might be too long, but that's the cutoff point. Like that, literally 8 to 10 days for me. If like that's a cutoff point. If we don't know by then everything is still up in the air in board level, and no one's playing off the same hymn sheet. And I think Rads is going to have to suck on serious lemons because he's going to have to admit what he's done is wrong. And for him to do that after not admitting that or owning up to the fact that it was a hasty decision to sack Bielsa because they had no one else available but Marsh, he needs to front up to that as well. Yeah. I think every decision
he's already
made,
thrown Arthur under the bus for that, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, but he's the chairman.
Well, yeah, he should come out.
The book stops with him. If he has any bollocks on him at all, he owns up to all of that and then says, right, clean slate, let's get this sorted. But that has to happen.
He's a politician. He should have said, I got this wrong massively and I'm sorry for that, Jen. I'm sincerely sorry. I've learned a lot of lessons and I'm going to work hard to take this club forward and get it back where it belongs. If he'd just said something like that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that.
It sucks so much.
But if he'd just come out and held his hands up and said, I'm sorry, I fucked up.
But I don't think he has the backbone for it. He doesn't have the backbone.
But how much more? You
know, politicians don't do that.
Yeah,
I agree. But politicians don't do that because that further down the line, somebody can then interview him and go, well, you got that wrong and that wrong and that wrong. And we can say that that's a fact because you apologised for it here. Whereas if he just ignores it, just this big elephant in the room that's in the corner that he completely has fucked up, but completely never actually accepts the fact that that's his fuck up and that it's him that's dropped the baby. If he never accepts that publicly, he can always deny it in the future. He's a politician. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's never a straight answer.
Thomas Kleemer says, we'll end up with Stevie fucking G.
That's what I'm afraid of.
So what will happen is Stevie G will come in and we'll sign Ryan Kent and Morales.
No, I mean, there are people on Twitter saying that he'd do well. I was having none of that. I fell for that one. I mean, if it were bait, it's done really well, but he did stick to it. Clive T's just asked us a question while we're on it, guys. Did any of you lads want Bielsa sacked? No. I'm still a Bielsa widow. So I still wanted to stick with him. And I said, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I said it, but I wish I'd not been right about it. I said I'd rather have been relegated with him and come back up with him and stand by him. Now, if you stay up this time and there's all sorts of investments and players move on and you bring in a good coach instead of Marsh and all of those other caveats and big ifs, then maybe you'd have been better off surviving by whatever means necessary. I don't think any of us wanted him sacked.
No, I didn't want him sacked, but I was sort of borderline. Is it time? I didn't want it to be.
See,
but I was open to the possibility that maybe it was time for a change. But I would never have sought for him to be sacked. I would never have asked for him to be sacked. You know, he had enough credit in the bank for me that if we did go down, I'd still love him.
I didn't want him to be sacked simply because the board didn't back him properly. And I wanted the board to understand that you cannot skate through on a fucking wing and a prayer in the Premier League. And I was just chatting to a couple of my mates there at the weekend after the game before the game. And I was saying to them, I was like, if you back Bielsa with the players he actually wanted, we don't struggle the way we struggled.
Now, as soon as Bielsa got sacked, this flood of players started coming in. Flood of players, right?
After they'd thrown him under the bus and said he didn't want players.
Yeah, but he always said he wanted better than what we had.
Yeah.
What we brought in was not better than what we had. So who's to say that the players they were supplying him with were these exact same players? And he was looking at them going,
he turned Arrington down.
Good enough.
That's one that's been picked up since the fact. Mm. One of them that he was offered was Arrington, and he said, I don't want him. And then we paid, what, £25 million for him?
Yeah.
So and that's just that's turned out to not be good enough. Anyway. Is yeah, that when we bid for him anyway, but Bielsa didn't want him?
He turned it down. He said he didn't want him. I think the only other thing is, I think timeline ends up being vague. You know, I'm becoming an old man now, but the timeline is difficult. I can't remember if it had been made clear that it was unlikely that Bielsa were going to stay on beyond the end of the season anyway. I think they might have, but I'm not 100% sure. They might have said that after that.
I think they felt it was unlikely, not that they'd been told, I think.
No, I thought it was that Orta had already made the case that Marsh was coming in the summer anyway, is my point. All they did was bring up the timeline.
Yeah. Behind Bielsa's back, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, and...
Because that's the kind of men we're dealing with.
Well, yeah. Now, I think it's right for a club to be as prepared as it can be in case he's not around anymore. Because he only ever did that one season thing, and we would have all criticised them for not being ready if he decided he wasn't going to be around anymore.
But, like we did when he sacked Marsh and had nothing lined up.
Yeah, exactly. And took so long, you're thinking, well, they must have somebody lined up, because why else would they have taken 6 months longer than necessary, and then it wasn't. Just the point that I had popped up there is, it is only 41 days until we play the Scum.
Yeah.
Lovely. Good nice comment up from Matt Leeds. He says, if you were a player, why would you come to Leeds? For me, players would rather go to other top championship clubs or Leicester and Southampton, in my opinion. And that's the problem with all this shit going on. Like, I think Southampton are going to be on it, you know.
Southampton maybe. Leicester are also fucked.
I think Leicester are screwed, but Southampton, I think, are going to be up there.
Yeah, maybe so. But I think If you look at the sides that have come up, Ipswiches and so on, I don't think that they're necessarily prepared for success in that league. A lot of it obviously depends on what happens over the summer and the sorts of signings that clubs are able to make. I'm not particularly worried about relegation at this point in time.
But
mid to lower.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
League position is an abject failure. It's an abject failure. If we're not in the top two, it's an abject failure. If we end up in the playoffs, it's an abject failure.
Yes.
Given what we've got today, which is an ability to flash the cash and pay more than anybody else is going to be able to pay, because Southampton are potless anyway. So the fact that West Brom have got absolutely nothing, their parachute payments have finished, their owners absolutely fleecing them with loans and all sorts of deals going off. Leicester are screwed. If our board can sort out the shit, then there should be no problem at all getting the right playing staff in place.
Do you have any faith in them?
Just a massive if. Well, we don't even know who it's going to be.
We don't even know who the board is anymore.
Yeah. The thing, I just want to put up
you're prolific tonight with starring these comments, Cal. You're on it now, because, you've got a laptop, aren't you?
Because I can't. I even have a wireless mouse going on here as well, lads. I'm proper IT.
Nah.
I'm proper IT here now at the moment.
I don't know what the three-way snap is, but, you know.
Bielsa, this comes in from Dave. Bielsa was sacked because we panicked and fans were panicking as well. To me, that shows a weak board.
Yeah.
Because they saw what the fans were saying. If they were in any way strong at all and they had a backbone on them, they would have said, no, we're going to stand by him because we're going to back him in January. Or we're going to back him next summer. Huh?
Like Forrest did.
Exactly. Exactly. They may have had 31 players, but they're staying up. Or 40, 50-odd players, but they're staying up. Like
Nobody gave that cat in hell's chance of working.
Nope.
I certainly didn't.
No one did. But look,
I mean, Steve Cooper's done a hell of a job.
Yeah.
It might look weird as fuck, but he's a hell of a manager.
But a lot of that is, a lot of what he's done is the board and the owner had confidence in his ability to do what he needed to do.
Yeah.
If the board didn't have confidence in Bielsa to keep us up for a second season, don't give him the job in the summer. Don't do it, regardless, because you didn't back him with players. They didn't at all. At all. Name me one player they backed him with. Not fucking one.
Jean-Kevin Augustin.
Give me a fucking break.
Who was
playing Champions or Europa League football only fucking 2 weeks ago?
Llorente played last night.
Yeah. You can go and shite with Llorente.
Glenn Hayes says, we all want planning and organisation. How could we have done that anyway when Bielsa would only sign 1 year contract slots? And I get this point. I get why the club didn't like that, but it was a special case, wasn't it? You knew that the players that we had would just carry on playing their hearts out for him if we kept him. So you didn't need that much of a plan because he had a plan.
Yeah, there was a lot of rumours of players discontent with how the training was going. I don't know how true they are. But if that's the case, bring in players that are willing to run their arses off then. Bring in players who are not fed up of the intense training regime.
How did we go from Jesse Marsh saying they'd been overtrained to being a team that's
going
to
be in play 60 minutes.
Yeah. Man, we looked as unfit from when Marsh took over as we did leading up to before Bielsa took over in the championship. That's how unfit we looked.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not standard, and that's not Premier League standard. That is weak.
Get away with that in championship. There's extra games. You'd be fucked.
Yeah. Absolutely foobar. Like, so
you don't have to be a lot fitter than that.
This isn't a dig at the potential new owners or anything, but if the board don't get something sorted soon, then they need to pull the trigger, either pull out and leave Rads high and dry for their own sake, because he's clearly
not... get off the pot.
Yeah, or shit or get off the pot, because this needs to happen. It needs to happen now.
Simple. They're not going to want their image destroyed. They're an investment group. They need to look good.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's how they pull people in and to invest further, not by being associated with a basket case of a football club with a lunatic Italian in charge. I mean,
I don't know if you guys have seen it for us. Well, have you seen the rumours on? Apparently, conversations have started on certain players, no names at all, but certain players' agents being contacted to understand what position the contracts are in, whether they'd be willing to move, whether they'd be willing to look at a move, and so on. And it appears that Angus is having these conversations with Rob Price and Andrea Law. Now, I don't know if you remember Andrea Law, but he's the furniture salesman that Chalino's wife found in LA. He's still involved in the club, and he's involved in conversations around who we're going to bring in. It's just insane. I mean, how can you? So, I mean, Rob Price is highly thought of, and I think, you know, he's been around a long time, and you know, I think he's grafted various different bits of various different bodies to other players to try and get them back fit and so on. And I think that over time, especially if you consider the amount of injuries that we did have, has at times worked miracles to get players back and so on. But the other side to things is, there a question mark? Now, given the scale of injuries that we've had over time, is there a question mark over his position at the club? Should there be a question mark over his position at the club? Andrea Law should never have been brought into the club at all. Effectively, my understanding of it is that he was just brought in as Chilino's spy. And you know, he went and did kick-ups on the training pitch and then told him what were going on with the first team and whatever else. And Angus, who's, I mean, I don't need to tell anybody about my thoughts on Angus. It's just the future of our club resting with them while Rads is off shopping for another club. It's just, and the 49ers are just sat on their heels doing very little. This is the perception of us as fans. It's all insane. There's no other way to say it.
It's crackers. It's absolutely crackers. But even you, Gilly, must feel slightly sorry for Angus with the way he's been kind of shit on from above.
I mean, he's a Tory. It's difficult.
I felt much sympathy, but there must be some.
Yeah. I felt bad for him. When I read and the 49ers and Angus didn't know about it, I thought, fucking hell.
And that moves us nicely to the next bit, I think, which we'll get into.
Yeah, go for it.
I will just pull this up because we've waffled for ages without even getting to this yet. So today we got this stunning piece of news. Chairman offered to use Elland Road as security for £26 million bank loan in a bid to buy Sampdoria. I mean, what the actual fuck? As if it couldn't have got any worse, the guy was off the day we got relegated, trying to leverage our ground.
Yep.
To buy another club.
And an Italian club that have been relegated to Serie B. So what is this? What is this?
They haven't paid their players. You know, they haven't paid the players, so they're going to be starting on -4 next season, is my understanding. So this is.
He's a gobshite, like, seriously, lads, come on. Like, I had great respect for him for what he did, but he's an absolute gobshite now. Like, there's no two ways about it. Like, he's just bought another relegated club.
I just can't believe it.
Who won't make him as much money as we would if we get promoted again, because the money is different in Serie A. It's not going to make him the same money. Why would you do it? Like, I genuinely don't
understand. He wants to go be the hero. He's got a hero
complex. He's white horse.
Yeah. The white knight.
He's got a hero complex. He wants to go in. He wants to be the hero.
But he's not going to be the hero for them. Unless he sells us and he can concentrate on them, because he's going to be flittering between the two.
I mean the rumors are that QSI are involved in that takeover as well, which is really strange, because if you're scrabbling around, I mean. All right, we're talking a lot of money here, but if you're scrabbling around for a pittance of £26 million, that seems really strange for me to say when that's a shitload of money. But when you're QSI, that is nothing. That's down the back of the sofa sort of money.
Yeah.
That's legitimately just a drop in the ocean. So if you're involved in that deal, I mean, for a start, you don't even need Rads. You can do that deal without him. What do you need him for? So it's all just really, really strange. And then it transpires, and this has been freely available on Companies House since December, January time. And, you know, I'll openly say I didn't know this, but then it transpires that the 49ers are invested in actual Elland Road, not just in Leeds as a club. So via two vehicles, they have invested. So under the 49ers Enterprises company on Companies House, they've got 22 of 100 shares, and a company that it would seem is headed up by Parag has another 7%. So you know it's even more gobsmacking that he's gone off to try and leverage an asset against a takeover of an alternate club when he's not even the sole owner of that asset. It's just even more insane.
It's but, crackers.
But you know,
how can you walk in somewhere and offer something that's not yours?
But the thing is, right, he knows that if he'd mentioned it to the 49ers and Angus, they'd have told him absolutely fucking not.
Of course they would.
Any sensible business person would have said, are you kidding me? I own a portion of that ground. You can't just leverage my percentage on a club that I have no interest in at all.
Like, the 49ers won the ground with the club.
Yeah, but if the 49ers now were in any situation at all, they'd go, right, here's a little bit over what we should have paid you in the championship. Now just fuck off.
Yeah.
Honestly, like.
Hannah says he gets his suits from Max and Spencer Kids section.
Someone Jerry else
says Bonnie Tyler's holding out for a hero. Rad should go see her. I love our viewers. I do. won't be the same without these guys.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, that takes us on to the next bit of this here. There's a comment from I think it was Mark, and he's saying lust to put an application so Rads can't use the art, haven't they? So this goes down to
an
asset of community value thing.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, that's a bit small on there, but never mind. it got the club did something with Lust where they stay behind your box. I don't want to see your face. Bloody hell, fire. The club did something with Lust where the ground got designated as an asset of community value with Leeds City Council, and it can't just be sold.
Mm.
So,
can't be sold, can't be knocked.
How much do you know about an asset of community value?
So I don't know anything about this, Gilly. So if you've been looking into this.
So that lasts for 5 years.
Okay.
And that was in 2017.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So it's expired?
Yeah. Well, so... I replied to that tweet from Tom Banks that you just put up there, saying, well, that asset of community value element only lasts for 5 years. It was announced in 2017, but is that when it came into effect, or did it come into effect later than that? So Alex, Riot Badger, thinks that it expires in October this year, but other people think it expired in October last year, and there's no clarity at all. Assets of community value monitored and managed by the local authority in Leeds is that they're all listed on the Leeds Council website. Elland Road is not there.
Oh, God. Right. It just keeps getting better today.
Yes, it is accurate to say that the Leeds United Supporters Trust did put an application in for us to have an asset of community value. That was approved. It did become one. That is understood. When that expired... or expires, is now the question. So Graham Hyde, myself, the Supporters Trust and others have all gone to Leeds City Council today to say, what position are we in? Now, hopefully one of us or all of us will get responses. I don't imagine that they're just going to pick my name out, but the Leeds United Supporters Trust and the chief sports writer for the YEP, I would hope will get their attention. So, fingers crossed we get quite a speedy update on that and understand exactly where we stand, because it might be that the bank has looked at it and gone, fuck off, dickhead, you're not even the sole shareholder of this asset. just as part of their due diligence for ensuring that their loan is on solid ground, it might not be anything to do with the ACV. It will be interesting what Leeds City Council do. So there are three different elements that can happen as part of a threat to an asset of community value. And one of those is a compulsory purchase by the local authority. So if it is seen that the stadium is under threat, Leeds City Council can force through a purchase of the property and it becomes council property. Still a valid asset of community value.
Okay. But that's if it's not expired.
That's what I mean. It was once. It might be one now.
Oh, God. This is a new worry that I didn't need tonight, Billy. Thanks for this.
Sorry, guys. I mean, we like to be as accurate as we can.
Well, to be fair, Gilly, you've given us more information there than we've got on the so far. So,
that is true, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I'd rather hear that, Jay, than not hear anything off the small show.
That's true, yeah. It's better to know it's coming than to be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a mess. What a mess.
What a day.
And
what a
day. What a mess, though. And he puts out this statement about we and us and our club while continuing to burn us and to shit on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's contradictory with his actions. nothing that he's done that I've seen has been putting us first or trying to take us forward. Not a single thing.
Well, no, but he is, you know, he is a businessman. So, but while ever our desires and his desires were aligned, that works. His desire was to get the club into the Premier League so he could line his own pockets. Great. That's what we all want. So, you know what? That's fantastic. Now we're in this position where actually he's unwelcome in Leeds, the city, let alone Elland Road. Yeah. You know, he's going to get pelters wherever he goes now. Anytime anybody that's related to our club ever sees him anywhere in the world, he's going to get some stick. There's two ways that I see for him to go. Either he can front all of that up and just ride it out and see if he can get over it. You know, as you said, just come out, apologise, say, look, I've got all of this wrong. Or he can just disappear and stay gone. There's no in between, really. I don't think he can just ignore it and still stick around. I don't think that, you know, even the YEP and Graham have said, look, get gone. You need to get gone. And they've gone to the 49ers and said, you need to make this move happen. You know, there's lots of statements being put out and they've put their own out this evening to say that. And I think that, you know, that's a move I didn't see coming, but the YEP have been really forward about, look, this is the club. This club is the fans and fans are the club. So you need to get this fucking sorted because this isn't yours. You might own it, but it's not your identity like it is the way of the fans. And I really appreciate the YEP doing that.
Yeah, I think it's important that people that are associated with the club in relation to the likes of the YEP, Lust, I know people have their own opinions of Lust as well, but I think the likes of those people need to be more vocal. We need Phil Hay, we need Popey, we need Graham at the YEP. We need all them to be as vocal as they possibly can with the articles that they're starting to put out, because there is going to be a bombardment of articles, because this is going to be the talking point, like I said, for the next 8 to 10 days.
Hold the phone.
And if they don't, then they're missing a trick there to put pressure on the board and Brad's.
Cal's just sent us some breaking news.
Go on.
Sam Allardyce departs Leeds after Premier League relegation.
There you go.
That's dated to, oh yeah, dated.
Today.
Wow.
Now
15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess they're doing something, aren't they? The useless pricks.
So a lot of he's not been sacked, has he? He's just had his contract renewed. He's come to the end of that. And do you know what? £500,000, fair play to him. I think he probably did everything that he could have reasonably expected to do. He got 1 point from the four. You hope for better, but fair play. I don't think there was anybody at that point when all of those fuckers had already happened. I don't think you could have brought in somebody better for those last four games.
Yeah.
I think it was unrealistic for anybody to be able to do anything to turn it around. It was the last Hail Mary, fair play. I felt a bit better about him than I thought I was going to feel about him after his first couple of press conferences. And, you know, he looked to be taking some of the pressure off the players and doing what he could for them. I don't think anybody... We've got no idea what's going on, but I would have been surprised if he'd have been in charge at the end of the season. Start of the next season, sorry.
I think you're right. It was still something, even though he didn't keep us up, it was still something that was hanging over us and it needed to be sorted out. So maybe they were listening to the pod and they were like, fuck, we better make someone else.
Maybe. You're frozen, by the way.
Do you know what? I was just about to ask then. I'm frozen for me as well.
You're frozen. Yeah. Not us.
It's me that's frozen for me. That's what I'm saying. I'm not moving around either.
You're frozen for yourself.
There's definitely something gone wrong. I'm gonna leave and come back in.
Oh no, better sponsored by Technical Gremlins.
I'm gonna try not to end the recording though, Carl. All right,
nice and Billy. Thanks, man.
We'll be back if he does.
You know, like that'd be a good name for an IT company that could sponsor the show. You know, sponsored by Technical Difficulties.
Technical.co.uk. IT Gremlins.
So,
back to the stadium and this loan collateral thing.
Yes.
So, did you see this, Carl, from Adam Crafton?
Oh, I did. I did, yeah. I did mention that earlier.
No charge put against the the company on company's house showing the ground. But then he said when they spoke to Rads and why he would offer to do that with the ground, he told them what Ace Adventures does with its assets, including Leeds and Elland Road, is none of your business.
I think he's a big prick. Well, a little prick.
What an absolute knobhead.
Because what happens to Elland Road is exactly our business. Yeah, it's 100% more our business what happens to that football ground than anything he ever does with it. And for him to say something like that is an absolute disgrace.
What pisses
and he should
me
be
off
marched out the fucking door straight away.
100% agree. What pisses me off for these people is they don't understand that buying a football club is not like buying a normal business. It comes with a set of responsibilities. And you never own a football club. You just preside over it. Do you know what I mean? You can't take the club away from the fans. It doesn't matter how much money you've paid for it or what you've done. It'll never be yours. It'll be the fans' club. And that's what Leeds is. And that's what he doesn't get. And it's like when you buy a lease. Do you know what I mean? You own it for the lease. But ultimately, it's not yours. One day, that lease will expire. One day, you'll be gone. And that building or whatever it is will still be there. And that's what they don't get, these people. And that's something Rads doesn't get. He does not understand what owning a football club like ours actually means.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with him.
And that's kind of, I just want to make a quick point now. I'm not going to try and deviate or anything from what we're talking about. Like, but that just puts the way German football clubs are run into the spotlight now, because it's obviously a 51% stake that fans own in their club. They always own a majority stake in their club in Germany. I can guarantee you, if that was the case over here, Rads would not still be chairman of our club. He wouldn't
balls.
Even still be owner, because the fans would have had him voted out right away.
Yeah,
but for him, he has no accountability to anybody because he feels he has this high and mighty kind of, I own the club, I'll do what I want. If I want to put the ground as collateral, I'll do it. It's my club. It's like, no, like you said, Jay, he's a custodian of the club for a limited period of time.
It's
until
our
someone
club.
Else comes in and it's our club. And if he wants to run it like that, then he has to answer to someone, not these spineless dudes on the board that won't question him because he's the owner of the club, the majority shareholder. I'm sorry. He needs to answer to the fans if he's going to carry on doing what he's doing. And at this point in time, I'm very, very much sick of looking at his face and listening to his shite talk because, like I said, I backed him to the hilt for so long. And now he's just taken it and he's shit all over it.
He has, absolutely. I don't know if you heard any of that, Gilly. I was just saying, when you own a football club, it's not like owning another business. It comes with a set of responsibilities that Rads doesn't understand. And I was just saying, it's akin to like buying a lease. You never really own what it is.
Yes.
It's just yours while your lease is there. You don't own a club. It belongs to us. You know, you're a custodian.
No, I know. Absolutely. No, I didn't. My laptop, a hardware issue somewhere. Even when I closed everything down, it thought something was still using the camera and microphone. So turn it off and on again.
Yeah,
all faithful.
Love that IT thing, yeah, boy.
But no, you're absolutely right. You know, he's got the privilege of overseeing our club for a short time.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's not his.
He's a privileged position he's in.
He's paid to be in charge of it for a while.
Yeah, I was just saying to Jay there while you were gone off. I won't repeat too much, but it gives a whole new kind of outlook on how German football clubs are run, where the fans own 51% of it. If Rads had done that, we'd have voted him out today. If we'd have found that out today, he'd have been gone. Sell up and fuck off. But he thinks he has this liberty that he can just do what he wants because he's like we don't know what's going on in the background at the moment, but that board don't seem to necessarily have the backbone to challenge him because, oh, he's the owner and he's this and he's that. Bollocks. He's messing around with your investment. Sort it out.
Yeah.
Sort it out. If you don't want to lose money, which you are going to lose money over hand and fist now, that's on ye. grow a backbone, sit the little prick down and tell him what he can and can't do. It's as simple as that.
That's apparently you're arousing people while you're getting angry.
I'm what?
Arousing people while you're getting
arousing
angry.
Jammy.
Oh, shite, not jammy again.
He should do that. And like Andy Aylor says, Rad should sit down with Leeds United Fans Association. Well, yeah, the trust, he should sit down with them and speak to them. He won't, because as you say, he doesn't have a backbone. And he knows that he's certainly not going to get an easy ride off those guys if he sits with them.
He's the ultimate keyboard warrior for a chairman.
He is. He is. He's somebody that tweets like it's going out of fashion when stuff's going well.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
he's getting credit and it's coming his way and he's like, oh, look what I've done. Look how wonderful this is. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Give me a like.
He came across as very narcissistic today in his comments because he tried coming across as the victim in all this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you, if he's showing that now, and if I was in the 49ers position, I'd fuck off and leave him high and dry if he's acting like that now at the moment.
I don't know what comments you've shared. Just as I were dropping off, I showed you, I think you popped up the one that I'd circled, that comment of his.
Oh, yeah, the Adam Crafton one.
Yeah,
it's none of your business what I do with my assets.
Well, yeah, but if you carry on reading, so that was the bit that I'd seen, and if you carry on reading that, he did actually say to The Athletic, "You're just trying to turn the Leeds fans against me."
Yes, he did.
I mean, that is victim complex, absolutely, 100%. It is, and that's just, and it's well, no, the fans are against you because you're a prick and you're abusing our club.
And every opportunity you've had to redeem yourself, you've pissed it away and gone the other way.
And do you know, one thing I will say is Scoffer and Jason and a few others that were really, really negative right from the start about him. He did bring his Bielsa, but if you look back over his time, that was fluke. If you look back over his time, when you read the purchase that was made of Elland Road, I think it was 20 million, the press releases all say Leeds acquire Elland Road. Leeds never did. Right. It was him. Right. Yeah. And so we need to be careful on what we say. So Dave said Rads has been charging 1.7 million a year rent for Elland Road since getting in the Prem. Now he's been able to. He's not cashed in that. There have been occasions when that's been money's owed that he's written off and not taken. Mm. However, at the same time,
Dave's question.
There was also yes, he is. The 49ers are earning some of that as well because they're part on Elland Road. But what we see is there'd been some debt written off against the loans or against the rent of. It looks like it's rolled together of its Elland Road and Thorpe Park, so that rent's being paid for. And he did write some of that off in I think it was the 2021. Books that he didn't, but there was additional. But well, at the same time, there was additional money that came into the club from 49ers. So you don't know if he gained slightly more, and the 49ers went right. You put that in your back pocket. Don't charge the club for this, and then it'll look like we can offset a little bit more in terms of our investment and pay a bit more into the playing staff and whatever else. I don't think he would have come out that any worse off. He just looks better in the books because he's not taken that 1.7 million for those two seasons or whatever it was. So yes, in the books, he'd written off some of that those loan fees. But there's no way he's going to come out worse off. Why would he? That's legit money that goes to him. But you know, it is also interesting that the 49ers are now in a position to also earn that. So if the club was sold as a going concern, but the ground wasn't part of that, you'd still have a potential of the 49ers and Acer Holdings making money from the actual stadium. So, I mean, it's all a bit of a mess. It's all a bit murky. I think I was trying to remember. I did have a really quick look, but Kieran Maguire from The Price of Football had shared some information some time ago, and I'm going back years, where the there was some of the legislation had changed associated with the club. And I think it was that a shareholder can sell to, or the main shareholder can sell to any of the present shareholders without approval of the other shareholders. What it can't do is go external to the present shareholders and sell to somebody brand new without their approval. We asked the question last time the books came out. Kieran came on the podcast and spoke to us about this, and we asked him the questions, and it felt like we were gearing up for a takeover. And now it almost feels like that's further away now than it was a month ago.
It feels fucking miles away.
It does, and this is all perception of us as fans, because we worry about the club. At this point in time, it is a business that's making money. It'll continue to be a business that's making money for a period, but if it's mismanaged at this point, it won't take long for that to be eroded.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. There's a comment from I think it was Jamie, and he's just saying, if I was Radson, I'd his money in drugs. I didn't read that bit when I started that. I probably wouldn't have read it out, to be fair, mate. I'd leave the business side to the professionals. I think one of the problems he's had, Jamie, is that he's trusted too much to other people in recent time.
Well, he's not a football person, is he? He's not a football man. And I think, but I think you're right. Whether he trusted too much to Water or whether he just wanted Otter to carry the can for it, either way, that's his failing. It was either he and Otter that failed and he's blamed Otter for it after the fact, or it was Otter that failed and Rads has allowed that to go on for such a long time. It's been such a major issue to our club. Either way, as the head honcho, he's the person that's in the hot seat, I'm afraid. I think it was Carl that said before, the book stops at him. There's no getting away from it. It's all his failing. So.
We've gone on for a while, and I think Joe might be on at 10. I don't want to overlap, so I'll start wrapping us up in a sec. I'm just going to pull this one up about the ground thing. Parag Marate and Angus Kinnear first heard of Andrea Radrizzani's Elland Road scheme last night. Dumbfounded, flawed, blindsided. They were amazed he could even propose it without them. I mean, fucking hellfire.
that's Bates Cellino days to a T, isn't it? That's exactly how they would have been behaving.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's just the whole thing's bonkers, and the guy has shown that he will look after himself when the chips are down, for me. Number one.
Yeah.
Our club is not his main concern.
Not now anymore. And, he's got Southampton.
Yeah, and Southampton.
Or Sampdoria even.
it's another Carl special. You proper nearly threw worn. Me then. I was like, hey.
nearly wore a Disney jersey as well.
But yeah, it's not his priority anymore, and everything's up in the air, and everything that we wanted sorted. It's a million miles from being sorted, and we're nowhere near where I wanted to go. We're not in the position we should have been in. And I remember Joe on his show saying he wanted to hear a statement the day after relegation saying this is what's happening, and that's what should have happened. That's what should have happened.
We did get a statement. We got that ChatGPT one.
No, that's not a statement. That's a bullshit algorithm. I see one of your starter comment there from Bully. Do you want to pull it up?
Yeah, he's mentioned you in it there. Before you go, can we talk about the bullshit that came from the people connected to the club about blaming Bielsa for everything? We might touch on it quickly, just because obviously Jay mentioned Joe's coming on in about 6 or 7 minutes, so we don't want to overlap there. I think at the end of the day, people know they fucked up with Bielsa, in my opinion. They know they fucked up sacking him. And for them to sit there and talk like it was the best move for the club, it baffles me a little
bit. Like they were looking out for us.
Yeah. If you were looking out for us, you would have backed them properly in January. For me, those people talking bullshit about Bielsa that are connected to the club, I'm sorry. That for me, you need to get it. It needs to be ironed out. they fucked up, and they know they fucked up, in my opinion, and that's exactly why they tried throwing everyone else under the bus along with Bielsa here and there. So,
yeah, absolutely agree with that. You can't offer him shit and then kick off and sell him out in the press and say, oh, well, he didn't want any players. It's his fault that the squad's so thin. Not when you're offering him absolute shite that he knew wouldn't cut it.
See, I think... Sorry, Gilly, go on.
I'm just going to say, lest we forget, he'd said that the playing staff that he had were going to be unable to maintain the levels that he was driving them at beyond 3 years. And that was the point at which it all started coming off the rails, was that three-year period. So if they'd listened to him, if they'd taken that seriously, if at the point of promotion, you know, we to be fair, that first season we did spend some cash, but if they'd have taken that seriously and continued investing where it was needed and taking that seriously, you know, I think, was it Adams that we brought in and the previous central midfielder that we'd bought before him was Adam Forshaw, and it was something like 6 years between buying central midfielders, and then we wonder
it rained windows on it.
It's something like
eight windows. You know, 4 years.
It must have been longer than that.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy to think that looking back that they can ever think, you know, what we're going to do is going to make Bielsa the fall guy, and that we're all just going to swallow that. It's just not going to happen.
No, and it's never been accepted, has it, by the fan base? And it's always, there's been a divide and an issue since that happened.
Yes.
Because of the way it happened and the way they went about it and the way they threw him under the bus.
And the way that when they were talking about the way that Rads went into detail, it was abhorrent. It made me feel a bit sick when he was talking about how devastated Marcelo was when he told him because he didn't know it was coming. You know, if you're in a position where you're managing somebody and you're managing their performance and their performance is not good enough, you tell them their performance is not good enough and you manage it across a period, giving them opportunity to turn it around and address the concerns that you've got as a manager. And then you go, well, you've not addressed those concerns, so I'm going to have to let you go. And then somebody knows, right, okay, well, I'm in a position where that's not happened. It's like, but he didn't. He had no idea it were coming.
How did they not say the same fucking thing to Marsh? I mean, like, before the World Cup, I was like, you're saying that now, and I'm sitting there going, why did they say that to Marsh?
I just want to grab this comment from Danny Wright just before we go. More than half all Leeds fans were calling for Bielsa to go and slam in.
I'm not having that.
Sacking him soon. I'm not sure it was more than half, but I think a lot of the people who did want a change probably would have changed their minds had they known what that change was going to be.
Yeah, I think that would have been significant. If people knew it was going to be Marsh and they understood the style of football and where he was, I think they'd have gone, you know what? Don't sack Bielsa.
I believe,
let him have it till the end of the season.
I believe before we go, Gilly's got something lighthearted for us to cheer us all up.
Yeah. So Kev Marston, who's been in the comments this evening, has just has tagged us in something, and I've just grabbed a picture of it. I'm going to pop it up here. So it looks like Mateusz Klich, the legend himself, has been doing a question and answer on, it might have been on Insta or something, and he was asked Marsh or Bielsa. He just responded with tough one. And just in the comments, he was asked what his favourite ever assist was, and he's picked out Tyro against Villa. I mean, he's just ace, and he's bringing back to me.
Bring him back.
Yeah,
I love him.
Give Chief
him
Shithouse is still Chief Shithouse.
Bring him back.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Joe's about to start, so we'll bugger off because we don't want to overlap and see everyone just leave us sat here on the phone anyway. But yeah, cheers everyone that's commented and joined us and stuff. We weren't gonna come on this week. We were gonna have a break, but we felt like we should. We needed to chat about all that. There's just too much for us to sort of leave it. But we'll be back next week. We're going to do the end of season pod next week, Gilly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's pretty much ready to go now. So it just depends on when we can make everybody available, I think, because it'll be good to get everybody on. Yeah,
are we doing anything tomorrow evening?
We don't know yet. I'm not going to say out until we've confirmed. We might be back tomorrow if we can figure out a special guest, but it's not confirmed yet, so we won't say any more on that. So don't want to g people up and let them down. Well,
keep your eyes peeled anyway. Yeah,
That's the one. Keep your eyes peeled. There is going to be a bit more content coming out. We've got a big interview coming up. And we've got some stuff coming out around the Leeds United Foundation, the charity works and stuff, and some of the fundraising we've done. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. There's plenty more coming.
We'll do our very best to keep you guys going this summer.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Cheers, all. See you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.